So it's not every week that our lectionary, the 3-year cycle of readings we use for worship, gives us scripture in order. Our readings, if they are from the same book week to week, usually jump around a bit. But not this week. For 6 full weeks, starting last week and continuing until mid-February, we're in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Last Sunday, we heard the first 9 verses of the very first chapter, and today we have the next 9. And this is a little bit like how the community in Corinth would have heard this text. The roughly 20 or so diverse people in that community would be sharing a meal together, worshiping God. As the meal wrapped up, one of the few who could read and write would take this letter and read it out loud. But our sharing is a little different because we're taking our time. The Corinthian community, I imagine, would have listened to the entire letter in one sitting. But we're taking what I call the Project Runway approach. Project Runway is a reality show where the design and sewing competition happens daily. The competitors are stressed and tired because there's very little rest between their fashion challenges. But the viewers at home, us, don't see that. The magic of TV lets Project Runway act like each daily challenge is really a weekly one. And the magic of reading Paul's letter 2,000 years after it was written is that we get to do the same. One of our gifts is time. Time to take God's word piece by piece. We can slow down, breathe, and listen. Unpacking the word God meant for the people of Corinth and the word God means for us. So last week, I invited us to imagine ourselves as part of the Corinthian community. The community itself is small and young, maybe 3 years old at the most. Paul is across the sea, possibly in prison in the town of Ephesus, when the Corinthian community reaches out to him. A crisis has come up. The community is divided. And in the verses we hear today, cliques are being formed and they have names. I like to think of these cliques as the first century versions of the Sharks and the Jets, the Pink Ladies, the T-Birds, and the Burger Palace Boys. But instead of being groups inside the West Side Story and Grease musicals of their day, the Corinthian community is wearing their black and pink motorcycle jackets with the names Paul, Apollos, Christ, and Cephas on the back. It's even possible that Chloe, a woman, might be in the mix, since she has people she can send to Paul. And I like to think of these different groups wearing names on their jackets because our translation of belonging isn't strong enough. The ancient Greek behind our English translation says that these cliques are not just claiming to belong to these people, but that they are, in essence, they really are these people. They are, in words I'm making up right now, Paulians, or Apolloians, or Christians, or Cephesians. The people inside the Corinthian community are doing more than choosing a preference. They're weaving various perspectives about Jesus into their identity, into their spiritual DNA. And as their differences harden, the space for others, for the ones who are not like them, begins to disappear. Now, for each of these groups inside the Corinthian community, as their newfound faith fills them with energy, life, and excitement, something unexpected but not unusual happens. Their zeal for their new identity pushes out the possibility for others to exist. What makes sense to them, what gives them strength and a sense of purpose, is the only way to live. They claim that their way is the only way, the only lifestyle, point of view, and relationship with Jesus that can possibly work for everyone. The Paulians can't understand why the Cephisians don't get it, and the Apollonians think both groups are missing everything. So this is what this church looks like when Paul's plea comes. For Paul, this isn't a community that's only conflicted. This is a community that is losing community. The Corinthians are focusing more on being right than being together. And this is a problem because for Paul, our faith finds its fullness when we're committed to each other. It's when we're in relationship with other people, people who are not like us, or from the same place as us, or who don't make the same amount of money as us, or who don't have the same background as us. That's when our faith grows. And we don't always get to choose who God brings into community with us. Paul's plea for unity, I think, isn't a plea for uniformity or a plea to remove differences. Paul, as we read in all his letters, is not against conflict. He doesn't mind a fight, and I think he likes to win those fights. But the God who called him, a Jew, to travel the Mediterranean and share with non-Jews the person of Jesus, this God isn't about winning. And Paul's words today aren't either. Because Paul doesn't tell them to join his team. He doesn't tell them to burn their Apollonian or Cephisian jackets for the Paul and Pauline ones. He doesn't even tell them to just put on the Christian ones. Instead, he takes off their jackets to reveal the basis of who they are. They are baptized. They are claimed. They are tied to Christ. And these earlier followers of Jesus are not only united with Christ in the victory of his resurrection, they're also united with his cross, with his death. A death that shows how our human way of viewing things isn't God's way of viewing things. When the world saw Jesus, this Jewish rabbi from the shores of the Sea of Galilee who fed the hungry, healed the sick, hung out with the outsiders, and brought good news to the poor. When the world saw him, they saw a threat. But even when he was taken to the cross, God showed that we are powerless when it comes to what God's love can do. In the cross, how we divide the world is overcome by how God does everything to bring us home. Through the cross, God wouldn't let our violence, our fears, our desires to live only with people like us be our final word. Because God's community needs more than just you. It needs all of us together. God's community needs your strengths, your flaws, your struggles, and your successes to be here. Because God loves you, just like God loves everyone else around you. Paul today is doing more than just telling the community to cling to Christ. He's telling them that they, in their baptism and in the gift of their faith, they are Christ. They are the community. They are to see each other like Christ sees them, as a beloved child of God, as a beloved part of God's creation, and as a necessary part of the community God calls them to be. So as Christ sees us, let's see like he does, looking at the people in our community, in our church, in our neighborhoods, in our nation, and in this world. Let's see all of them as the beloved children of God. The beloved children of God they actually are. Amen.